Today I'm going to talk, sort of springing from the thought of remembrance and recognizing the difficult issues that that remembrance brings. I'm going to then go from there into thinking about justice and then peace in our own lives, and from there, healing in our own lives. I think that until sort of 14 months ago, I probably didn't really have a very good clue as to what it was like to lose a friend, a comrade, as I do now. Because as you all know, I lost my lovely friend and colleague at work who died from cancer. And I think that's brought home to me much more powerfully the way in which so many people have been affected, not by, not just by war, but obviously that is a very key part of it. For those who went out and returned, but had lost many friends. And we remember today, obviously, people down the ages, but particularly since the Great War, people who have died. On the war memorial up on the hill, there are obviously the names of people, including those brothers, and every time I see that group of Johnsons together, my heart just goes out. You know, that family decimated by that war. But of course, there are other people's names there as well now. I think there's people from the Korean War, there's people who died in Afghanistan who are remembered on that memorial now. So it goes on. And this is so sad because many lives have been destroyed, families devastated. And when you see on the TV the wreckage of parts of Syria, you just wonder how anybody can live through a conflict like that. It is just, it's extraordinary. Around the world, there are still millions of people who live in war zones and live with the aftermath of conflict for year upon year. So we're bound to ask ourselves, aren't we, why? Why must we fight? What's the point? And perhaps most importantly, what does God think about all this? Can there be a just war where it's better to fight and kill and to harm others than it is to acquiesce? Can anyone really do that in the name of doing what is right? It's not a comfortable question to ask. It doesn't mean we shouldn't ask it, and ask it quite regularly. Many, many wars down through the ages have been fought in God's name, in the name of doing what is good and right and true, but I think very few have stood the test of history. Perhaps the Second World War, and others, I'm sure, was won, but in that war, the terrible Nazi death camps set up to kill the Jews, and other minority groups, it wasn't just the Jews, there was other minority groups, those things could not go unchallenged, I think. But of course, it didn't just start there. The settlement that took place at the end of the Great War crushed the German nation, and it was, in a way, the seed of the discontent that led to them accepting this terrible Nazi doctrine. The seeds of war so often are sown in a climate of injustice and unfairness. And that's why God hates injustice. And so must we, whether that's in Palestine, in Burma, in Afghanistan, in Zimbabwe, or even right here in the United Kingdom. If we look into the Old Testament, we see that there are many instances where God calls upon his people to wage war on others. In some ways, I find this really hard to comprehend, because, of course, I see God as a God of love. But we have to balance that with him being a God of wrath. I don't really intend to consider that just now, because with Jesus, we see different rules seeming to be applied. One is so radical that there were many who just couldn't accept it in his day, and there are many who cannot accept it today. We heard it in the passage that Margaret read to us so clearly. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well. That is quite a challenge, and one I have to say I did not take up. A very long time ago, when I first knew Jenny and her lovely family, I said something cheeky to her little sister, Kathy, who was probably 13 at the time, and she told me that she was going to slap me. And I, very confident, said, ha, you wouldn't slap me. She said, I will. I'm sure Jenny was standing in the background thinking, this is going to end in a serious slap. But I just went on and saying, no, you won't slap me. Well, Kathy's not one for really holding back. She might have been a skinny little teenager, but boy, did she hit me. It came right from here, came right round and straight across my face. Wham! I was a little stunned. She just hit me. I'm sure I deserved it. I didn't offer the other cheek. It seemed like a pretty bad idea. The first one hurt quite enough. But that's the thing. Jesus makes this incredibly strange statement, one that seems almost incomprehensible. It's really very extreme. You know, we're so used to it, aren't we? We hear the term turn the other cheek, but actually it is quite extreme. But actually Jesus' thinking was rooted into the Old Testament. It was not entirely new. It was just taking a radical step, taking the Old Testament values to a much more radical conclusion. In many places, God shows himself to be on the side of the weak and the underprivileged, the enslaved and the downtrodden. And just to give you one instance, let's look at Deuteronomy 27, verses 18 and 19. It'll probably come up here. Cursed is he who misleads the blind man on the road. And all the people said, Amen. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, that's the foreigner, the fatherless or the widow. And all the people said, Amen. I find it fascinating that the foreigner is included with the widow and the orphan. I also find it rather challenging. In this time of mass migration, with an influx of fearful people arriving as desperate immigrants into Europe, we can't really ignore their plight. Just as the people of Israel were called on to be fair and provide for the needs of the stranger in their land, in their promised land, they still had to care for the stranger. Deep down inside, I know that I feel a bit selfish about sharing my lovely country with a whole lot of people from other lands, from other cultures. But I realize that maybe this isn't quite how God sees it. He brings them here to safety. He's bringing them to a place where the gospel can be openly shared to all people. He's offering them new hope through us. Okay. We need to take proper responsibility for our own people, but alongside that, for newcomers, for the orphan, the foreigner, and the widow. We need to build enough new homes for our young people and for the new people. We need to make sure that the education and health system is fit for purpose so that we can provide for the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. But God is calling us to be generous and merciful and loving That's the nature of God. He's calling us to be just like he is, to be a Christ-like people. And this is not just in our corporate life as a church or in our national life as the United Kingdom. It's true in our personal lives as well. What did Jesus say about our role in the world? Let's think for a few moments once again about that reading. Looking at Matthew 5, starting at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be called children of God. Now, I know that I am a child of God. We are all children of the living God if we have taken that step of committing ourselves to him. So on the other side of the coin, if I am a child of God, then I must be a peacemaker. Not resorting to conflict, but seeking to find a way of understanding the way that others' fears lead them to act unfairly towards me. And then looking at ways to bridge over the chasm of distrust, to explore ways out of situations of conflict that I find myself in. Today, I find myself in that place. I need to find a way to prayerfully resolve issues that face me in my business, which provide me with just and right outcomes. But to do it in a way that's palatable to everyone. And I seek God's wisdom on this. I refuse to let the disappointments or the conducts of others to mar the relationship that I have with them. I refuse. It's an act of will. I refuse to try and get one over on others. No, I will endeavor, in God's strength and with his wisdom, to be what Jesus called me to be meek, to be righteous, to be merciful, to be pure of heart, a peacemaker. Are you with me? Are you in the same place as me? Most of us will be. In every life, there is damage. Because in a sense, we are all in a spiritual war zone. We come to harm. Each one of us needs to experience God's peace, the peace of God. Have you been harmed? Are you downtrodden? Have you been belittled by others? Are you seeking a way to run away from humiliation? Or are you fighting back? Are you ranting and raving inside? Or are you just crushed? Is there the child that was in your past still believing lies that were told about you? Or perhaps you've constructed, in the meantime, your own version of feeling worthless. The battle goes on in each one of us, and we try to find our own ways of dealing with it. But just as the seeds of war are sown in a climate of injustice, it's so similar in our own personal lives. If we do not let go of the things that have wounded us in our distant past or the day before yesterday, then we can't find the peace that is in offer from our living God. So on this Remembrance Sunday, I think it's time to claim the peace of God, to seek the healing balm of God's love. Did you lose a loved one, a valued colleague, or did you lose somebody on the battlefield? God is offering his comfort to each one of us, because we need to let these things go. We need God's enabling power to be able to do that, because so often we cannot do it in our own strength. We need God at work in us to let go the pain of the past. Today, I think, is a time to act. I want to pray for myself, and I want all of us who are suffering from the wounds that we've sustained in the battle of life. Whether you've been harmed in body, in mind, or in soul, or all three, let us seek God to bring us his healing. I'd like the band to return, if they could, please. And I'd like us all to stand together. Let's stand, each one of us, if you're able. I'd like us to just close our eyes so that we're not looking over what other people are doing and thinking. So now that nobody is looking, if you, like me, need healing from past hurts, just raise your hand a little, just to declare to God that you want his healing balm to be poured over your life. Just raise your hand that you may declare to God that you are one of those people, like me, that needs his healing. And then let us pray together. Lord God, for the child that I was back then, that we were back then, that was told I was stupid and worthless, I declare that they were wrong. For we know that we are more worth so much to you. God, you know our infinite and immortal worth. For the people who have belittled us and underrated us, Lord, we forgive them, but we declare them to be wrong. For you, O God, have purchased each of us. You are right, Lord. We are worth every drop of blood that you shed for us on the cross, and we agree. We are worth your love. Fill us with the strong meekness of our Savior. Inspire us with righteousness. We may reflect the mercy which you have shown to us into the lives of others. O God, fill us with your peace, for we know that in the face of every peril, every injustice, every sadness, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Lord God, we pray that you'd enable us to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and thanksgiving to present our requests to you, our God. And may the peace which transcends all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Pour your healing love into each of our lives, we pray. Heal our souls, our minds, our bodies, in Jesus' holy name. Heal us, we pray. Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus. Let it be so. We agree. Amen. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The band, I think, is going to lead us in song.